seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp-worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Welcome in to the midweek edition of the Gym Class, coming your way here on the September 6th on KGYM. Coming up on the show, Michael Oss from the Cedar Rapids Gazette will stop by and we will preview the Cy-Hawk game coming up on Saturday. We'll talk sports with Mike coming up here in just a little bit. Also on the program, we will talk with Chrysalis of RotoWire.com. Fantasy drafts, for the most part, are in the rearview mirror. You're getting ready for week number one. A few curveballs thrown the way. The Dolphins and the Buccaneers not playing. Your questions for Chris, both via the text line and the phone lines. That'll be coming up a little bit later on the program today. And what day is it? It is the first Wednesday after Labor Day, ladies and gentlemen. You know what that means. A preview coming up on the Gym Class on KGYM. Is there a DL in bowling? We will talk about that coming up later on here. It is the Gym Class coming your way on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. All together, all three frequencies make up our KGYM family of stations. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann, our producer here on the program today. And we're going to talk a lot about the Cy-Hawk series in college football as Iowa and Iowa State get ready to kick it off at just past 11 o'clock from Jack Trice Stadium on Saturday. You can catch the game beginning at 9 o'clock. Iowa and Iowa State coming your way on 1600 AM. Also at 9 o'clock on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, we will have Before the Boom. And that will be on the FMs at 9 for 1 hour. And then immediately following the game, Iowa State fans, Iowa fans, we want to hear from you both. We'll be here live in the studio for After the Final Gun. And we'll see who wins the annual Cy-Hawk battle and what you have to say about it. That will be live from our studios on Saturday about 2:15 right in there on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. And again, we'll talk with Mike Colas about the game coming up here in just a little bit. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We're right in the middle of, we're on the verge anyway, of the NFL season beginning tomorrow night. Kansas City, New England. You have a vested interest in that one, that's for sure.
I believe I do, yes.
And then really good set of games on opening weekend. I can tick off several, but a lot of them, Seattle, Green Bay.
I like that. We'll have that one.
That's going to be very interesting, yeah.
We'll have that one.
But I'm sure if you've already drafted, you're going to want to set your lineups. You've got questions, or if you haven't drafted yet, you may have questions as well. Chris Liss, rotowire.com. is going to be with us to answer all your questions. Get ready on the text line and the phone line. Jerry K. Ask Investment Services. Text line 319-366-1600, and that's also our phone line. The great Kyle Mann on the other side of the glass.
The great Kyle Mann.
The great because he was 4-2 in his first week of the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6. Helped us to a victory.
There you go. Nice job. Nice job. I believe Kyle picked up Rookie of the Week honors this past week.
Well, he was the only rookie.
You didn't have to say that part. Kyle has been named the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 Rookie of the Week. And thank you, Kyle, for helping us out to the victory right there. 319-366-1600, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, the phone line as well, if you'd like to weigh in. Getting closer and closer to Iowa and Iowa State, kicking off at just past 11 this Saturday on KGYM. And here's what I wanted to talk about a little bit. And I mentioned to you, I think, on Monday when we were off due to the Labor Day holiday, I said, Mark, what is my big theme of the week is going to be, why on earth do people want to get rid of this game? Because, and I think it's more on the Iowa side than on the Iowa State side. There's a hashtag now that has been developed, hashtag hate week. I think it's a little bit of a wink-wink there, because this is not and we've mentioned it before, this is not a hateful rivalry. Yeah, you want to beat if you're an Iowa Stater, you want to beat Iowa. If you're an Iowa fan, you want to beat Iowa State. There's no doubt about that. But this is not, you know, this is not Auburn, Alabama. This is not Cal, Stanford. This is not Florida, Florida State. I mean, there's no hatred involved as far as this is concerned. When it's all over, everyone's going to meet in the Jack Trice parking lot and probably have a few beers afterwards and talk about it and hold a few bragging rights. I mean, that's what makes Iowa State, I think, special. And then mostly the Iowa fans over the last several months have done nothing but complain about the fact that Iowa has to play Iowa State every year. And now Iowa State looks like they may be turning the corner a little bit. Yeah, they were 3-9 last year, but got off to a good start against UNI. Played rated opponents in the Big 12 very, very well last year. Looking at possibly getting 6 wins and getting into a bowl, which would be terrific in Matt Campbell's second season. And now suddenly it's a game. And oh, by the way, in the Kirk Ferentz era, the series is tied. 9-9. 9 wins for Iowa, 9 wins for Iowa State. It's monetarily beneficial to both schools. Why on earth do you want to get rid of it? 319-366-1600.
Well, some folks want Iowa to play a Power 5 team.
And they are.
Iowa State is.
They are.
The problem is when Iowa State is not relevant and this game is not competitive. As you just mentioned, Kirk Ferentz, 9-9. Against Iowa State. How much more competitive can it get than that? Do you want to give up North Texas to play somebody from the SEC or the ACC?
And
I don't know.
And we've said it before, there aren't any teams in Power 5 conferences, basically, that play 2 Power 5 schools. Now, there are a few exceptions. You've got Florida State this year, but that was the kickoff classic. They play Florida and they play Alabama. Unless you have a rivalry like that, and Iowa did it before. They played in the kickoff classic several times. They played Tennessee. They played Iowa State.
Kansas State.
Played Kansas State. You're just not going to see that happen very often unless it's extenuating circumstances like that. Or unless you're an independent like Notre Dame or something like that. 319-366-1600.
The argument is stoked every year about whether this is a relevant game or not. This is the 40th anniversary of the renewal of the series. And I think I covered many of those games. I remember the first games in fuzzy TV coverage on ABC when Iowa won 12-10 that renewal.
And Iowa State had beat Iowa on the front of the shirts.
Yeah. If not that one, another game. I'm not sure about that. But there's been great storylines over the years, great outcomes. You know, 6 years ago, it was a triple overtime game. I think one
the
of the best games.
Game.
One of the best games I've seen. Just thrilling, a triple overtime game. But you've had stinkers like a 9-6 game as well.
Yeah.
But by and large, it's been competitive. And I think we'll be again this Saturday.
319-366-1600. We'll get some texts in. We're going to go Darren first in Cedar Rapids. He'd like to weigh in on Iowa State. We're going to talk to Mike Halas coming up here in a little bit as well. Darren, good afternoon. And let's see. Let's try that.
You there?
Yes, Darren. I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button. That's my fault.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Hey, just real quick. I have no issue with Iowa playing Iowa State. The issue I do have with individuals that want to say, hey, you know, we don't need to play Iowa State is the money that Iowa pays Iowa State when they come to Kinnick. It should be the same when Iowa goes to Jack Trice.
Goes to Ames, yeah.
And that's I mean, if they want to keep it that way, you know, that's fine. We play every year. But when we're getting the hose end of the deal financially, there's no reason for us to do it. Because Iowa's athletic budget ran at a deficit last year. It wasn't a very large deficit, but it was a deficit. And they need to get the money. And if Iowa State don't want to pony up, which they didn't this last contract negotiation, maybe we should just stop playing with. That's what I got. You guys talk it over.
Good All right, point, Darren. Thank you. Appreciate it. 319-366-1600. The reason why there is a discrepancy is the fact that Kinnick seats more than Jack Trice Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it all basically hinges upon. And that is built into the contract situation. Keep in mind that money is coming in from the Iowa corn growers. Keep in mind money is coming in from the sponsor of the Cy-Hawk series. That's coming in as well. So, yeah, you're right. Darren is right out there. And I think he has a valid point, but I don't think you're going to get changes as far as the contract is concerned unless Jack Trice Stadium has another seating expansion and seats the same as Kinnick Stadium.
There's plenty of text rolling in. Let me get to a few of them here. 7295, people don't want this game because it results in a loss for someone.
Well, if Iowa State is playing a big Power 5 team, there's a pretty good chance that's going to be an L2, though. Am I right?
Ryan from Walford, I don't know if I'd say hate, but it's a strong dislike. Too many Iowa State fans try and compare Iowa State football to Iowa football. It's like Iowa fans comparing Iowa football to Alabama, not even close. I thought Iowa State had a good chance of an upset prior to week one. I think you'll see more running between the tackles this week. We'll wear them down and win 27-10.
Ryan giving his prediction, by the way.
6-6-6-5, pointing out Iowa has played Pitt and Iowa State in the same year.
True.
They played the Arizonas, the Arizona States, the Kansas States, so it's not like it's never happened.
And Iowa's not going to the West Coast anymore. Ever. As long as Kirk Ferentz is coaching. So Iowa's not going to play any of the Pac-12 schools anytime before 2022. And that's a ways down the line here.
64-39, in the last 18 years, Iowa State has never been favored. And yet they're 9-9 in the series. Do they want to schedule someone else from a Power 5 and lose more?
Interesting.
64-29, a childhood friend that went to Iowa State posted on social media that he didn't care if they lose all the rest of their games as long as they beat Iowa. That sums up the mentality of a significant portion of that fan base. It is their Super Bowl while Iowa looks at the big picture. Doing well in conference and getting to a decent bowl game should be the priority. Folks, do you really believe that? You can weigh in.
Do you want to open that can of worms?
Well, you want to weigh in on the poll question at KGYMradio.com. Brought to you by Emo's Hideaway.
Oh, my gosh.
Do Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes put enough emphasis on the Cy-Hawk game? Yes or no? Thanks to Emo's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's. Listen, I think folks sometimes have a misrepresentation of the Iowa program. To say this game does not mean anything to Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa Hawkeyes is stupid.
It means a lot.
I think it's just Kirk's posturing that we like to play one game at a time. Conference season is very important. It is just one game on our schedule. And I think by saying that, people believe that, well, he doesn't care as much about that game as maybe some of the others. But isn't that the proper mentality to have, to play each one with equal importance?
Yeah. You mentioned Pitt and Iowa playing Pitt and Iowa State in the same year, Arizona and Iowa State in the same year. As several people, including our own Todd Brummelkamp, pointed out, that's when Iowa played 4 non-conference games.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 3 non-conference games now. And who knows? I think it'll probably stay at 9 conference games. But, hey, who knows in the near future? It may go to 10 if they push the season out to 13 games, which they're already a little bit of buzz anyway down the line. More games brings in more money. 319-366-1600. We'll get more on this coming up. More text before we get to break here.
We do indeed. 8205. By the way, Michael Loss and Chris Liss coming up on the guest list. The 500 record is actually why we should try and play a better Power 5 school. A loss is detrimental to Iowa, and a win does nothing. Ryan, the food delivery guy, I feel that some Iowa fans, myself included, only feel that this game is remembered if Iowa State wins. If Iowa wins, they were supposed to. 56-80, the Iowa State game is a no-win situation. We are expected to win, and when we do, it does not do much for us. But when we lose, it hurts us. So we lose either way. Listen, I think one year, didn't Iowa go to the Orange Bowl after losing to Iowa State?
The Seneca Wallace year. Yeah. The only loss. Iowa State's
didn't really hurt
teams.
Iowa that year.
No, it hasn't. And it's a different situation now than it was back in the early 2000s. But, you know, it would help if Iowa State was consistently a winner. I'm not going to lie. It would help this series if Iowa State would get a string of bowl appearances put together. I think Matt Campbell's on the right track right now. But the problem is, if Matt Campbell turns around Iowa State, gets into a couple of bowl, you know, gets some 6, 7, 8 wins, maybe in the next 2 or 3 years, you know what's going to happen.
When Dan McCartney was at Iowa State, Iowa fans didn't want to play the Cyclones for different reasons.
Yeah.
Because McCartney kicked their butt every year.
And Matt Campbell, if he starts winning at Iowa State, is going to have some suitors real, real quickly. We're going to get to a break here at 3:20. Michael Loss is going to be joining us. A reminder that our brother station across the hall, Rob FM, they are proud to welcome Get the Let Out at the Paramount Theater stage coming up next Thursday, September the 14th. And the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn has your shot at free tickets to the show. Get the Let Out isn't your run-of-the-mill impersonator act, rather a group of musicians who are fans first, now strive to do justice to one of the great bands in rock history, of course, Led Zeppelin. And they will have tickets for you to win coming up a little bit later on. We're going to take a break, come back. We might revisit this a little bit later on if we got some time before 4 o'clock here today. And when we come back, Mike Loss of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join us, and we'll do that when we come back here on KGYM.
Play the greens and save some green now at St. Andrews Golf Club. Monday through Friday before 1 and after 5, ride 18 holes for $23. Bring your juniors with you because kids 12 and under play free anytime Monday through Friday. And on weekday evenings, take in a relaxing 18 holes with a cart for just $23 too. Only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blair's Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. All items subject to sales tax, special prices for walk-ins only, not scheduled outings.
When you are on your way up, a connection may have changed the trajectory of your career. Return the favor at the Innovation Expo, Tuesday, September 19th, the state's largest entrepreneurial showcase. Come meet Iowa's best and brightest and be part of Iowa's next big idea. Tracks include the Seed and Venture Forum and a business showcase. Your success can inspire these entrepreneurs to grow Iowa's economy with their ideas. Attend EDC Inc.'s Innovation Expo, September 19th at the Coralville Marriott. Details at edcinc.org.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com. Member NCUA and equal housing lender.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class, KGYM.
Back with you here on the Wednesday edition of the gym class on KGYM. Few more texts here, Mark, before we bring in our friend Michael Loss from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, who's up next.
Where do I start? They're flooding in.
Get your top three here. Twins are up 10-6, by the way. That'll make you happier.
David and Hudson, let's throw it out there. It's someone's bowl game every year. Couple texters pointing out my scenario that when Iowa State beat Iowa and Iowa went to the Orange Bowl, that perhaps prevented Iowa from winning the national championship.
Iowa didn't win the Orange Bowl either that year.
No.
Just pointing that out.
30-20, I think the reason for Iowa to possibly look elsewhere is due to the argument of strength of schedule. And in the past, Iowa State doesn't help Iowa's strength of schedule.
Yeah, it's not a mystery. If Iowa State was a consistent winner, and not even a big winner, just 3 out of 4 years, 2 out of 3 years make a bowl. Would that change the outlook of Iowa State? I think it would. I think it would right there. All right, let's talk about it with Mike Halas from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can follow him on Twitter at Halas, H-L-A-S, and you can check out his fine work at thegazette.com. Happy Cy-Hawk Week to you, Mike. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks. Just those last 90 seconds were pretty funny.
Well, we've had 20 minutes of that fun. Anytime you mention...
I mean, did Iowa State cost Iowa the national championship in 2001, or 2002, I should say? Well, they did lose the Orange Bowl.
Yep. Looked good the first 15 seconds, though. If you recall.
Life comes at you fast.
So did USC.
Why do we annually have this argument that we talked about in the first 20 minutes, Mike?
Well, because the thought that life could get better is woven into our hearts. And our brains. I think I keep my ear to the ground on some of this, and I don't hear people from Alabama or USC or Florida State or Clemson saying, God, I wish we could get Iowa.
No rumblings, huh?
No. I mean, and ABC and ESPN and it's like you just know that they're kicking each other. What can we do to get Iowa on national TV on a Saturday night?
Get those millions of television sets tuned in.
Yeah, but I mean the grievance is, oh, beating Iowa State doesn't do any good for us. You know what? 2 years ago, if Iowa had beaten Michigan State, Iowa would have been in the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
You win your games, you go to the playoff. It's that easy. Playing Iowa State is never going to keep Iowa out of the playoffs.
Kind of along those lines, I don't know, Mike, but there's this overtone of Kirk Ferentz and Iowa not putting enough emphasis on this game. Where does that come from?
That comes from people who don't know what they're talking about, which is, you know, sort of where everything comes from that's not right. Ferentz has said a million times, we only play 12 games a year. They're important. And there's a reason why they've been playing the Iowa State fight song in their locker room this week, and they've probably done similar things year after year. There's a reason there's a trophy for the game, and they display it prominently in their football complex, the people who walk in the front door in years that they have it. It means something. And anybody who thinks that it's nonchalant to Iowa has never, you know, spent 5 minutes around the team.
I would agree. Well, and just Matt Vandenberg's his line from yesterday, we have one job to do, and that is to bring that trophy back to Iowa City. I mean, right there it says what Iowa thinks about the game.
And something else is, there's going to come a time when Iowa State does have good teams. And it might be sooner than some people think. And when that happens, and I realize there's not a lot of past history to suggest that it will happen, but I think it will happen at some point, that's not going to be a game that Iowa wants off its schedule. So be patient, because you know, those games against Alabama are not around the corner if you drop Iowa State.
In week one, Mike, did we learn more about Iowa or Iowa State?
I don't know. I don't know. I thought both really did a nice job Saturday. The scores would certainly suggest that. But I watched one game in person and the other on television, and I thought both teams did really nice jobs. I was kind of glad to see it, because it makes this week, to me, a lot more interesting.
For Iowa, this defense, let's start there with the Hawkeyes side of things. It was impressive. Now, granted, Josh Allen lost all his weapons, and And by the way, if you don't think Josh Allen has an NFL arm, no. You're not going to take over from Mel Kiper Jr. because the guy can wing it. But he just didn't have anybody to wing it to. And a lot of that had to do with the Iowa defense because they were really, really good.
They were. And they rotated a lot of guys on the front line. They all did a good job. The linebackers were sensational. And the secondary, which was the question mark of the whole defense, I thought was more than adequate. I mean, you hold a team, that team, any team, the 3 points have done a great job, and the yardage number was low. You know, there were a couple of plays. If the kid catches the pass in the end zone instead of bobbles it, maybe it's a different game. If the kid doesn't whiff on the punt, maybe it's a different game. Of course it's a different game, but I still think Iowa wins. But the fact is those things happened. Iowa took advantage of its opportunities, and Wyoming did not, despite coming up with four turnovers. So to give up the ball four times and still hold a team to 3 points and 231 yards, a team that is known for offense, that was, you know, I don't know how else you could put it, but a stellar start.
David and Hudson on the text line, Mike, wanted us to ask you if you think we will actually see some more wide receivers play this Saturday, or are they just taking up space on the depth chart?
No, I don't know about this week, but you'll see more. You'll see more. You know, if Easley plays the way he did last Saturday, then that's going to cut into other people's time, but that's a good problem to have.
Like him a lot.
Yeah. Oh, he looked like a playmaker to me. And somebody was going to be out of that bunch. It's just too many guys for somebody not to emerge. You don't need that many. You need a few, though. So we know about Vandenberg, and now we have reason to think Easley's one. And there'll be others, you know, they're going to come in and out, but maybe as this Quarles transfer works his way into things, he got a late start, well, maybe he'll surface.
Let's talk about Iowa State a little bit. And the Cyclones, yeah, they got the two pick sixes. Eli Dunn threw those and kind of got Iowa State woke up a little bit. But the Iowa State offense got purring a little bit in the back half of the second quarter and into the second half anyway. Defense still gave up 400 yards to UNI, and they got to shore that up, I think, especially against the run coming up in the game on Saturday.
Yes, agreed. What I liked from Iowa State in that game is UNI gobbled up the yards in the first half, but things started to dry up as the game got older. And Iowa State's defense basically took over in the second half. Wasn't perfect, but it was much better. Iowa State's offense, on the flip side, had a slow start. The first two, but, you know, part of what skews the stats in that were those two pick sixes. That meant that Iowa State's defense was on the field a lot in that first half, and the offense really didn't have to do that much. But once the offense sort of got into a rhythm, they looked really good to me. And that was expected to be the strength of the team, and it is the strength of the team. But you talk about receivers, Iowa State has several. And if Josh Allen had Iowa State's receiving core, that would have been a much different game Saturday in Kinnick.
Totally agree there. One of the storylines at Kinnick Saturday was Brian Ferentz's first go-around as offensive coordinator, and he worked in the press box. Did you have any impressions of the job he did, or is it too small of a sample size?
Well, it is a small sample size, and you're breaking in a quarterback, his first start. So I think we've just seen him scratch the surface. I thought he mixed things up a little bit, and he wasn't afraid to take shots with Stanley at the right moments. And Stanley's numbers overall weren't gaudy, but then three touchdown passes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of those were absolute beauties. So for a first game, I think it was all you could reasonably expect from Stanley and from Brian.
Nate Stanley's first start on the road, though, coming up this week. And I think a lot of people kind of overlooked that a little bit. And it's not going to be a friendly environment.
No, and it's different. It's just different. That first road start is something every quarterback's got to get through. And it's going to be a pretty good challenge for him. He's going to need a lot of help from his friends on the offensive line and in the backfield and in the receiving corps. So if they do the same kind of job with ball protection they did last week, they're getting beat. They have to play meat and potatoes football over there.
I find it humorous and sort of interesting, Mike, that these two programs really pay attention to one another. When Brian Ferentz was talking about recruiting and referred to Iowa State as those guys in Ames, and now folks at Iowa State, Matt Campbell, are saying that team out east, I think it's kind of amusing but also interesting.
Yeah, and it's pandering to their own fans on both sides. But what's also true is you have yet to hear Campbell say a disparaging word about Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Full of praise of Kirk Ferentz and the program. And Ferentz likewise has publicly offered, you know, high praise to Campbell and what he's done so far. And I think it's genuine on both sides. It seems to be to me. These are guys who I think they, you know, they don't need to play those little games. You know, the best way to go to sleep at night is to have coached well and recruited well and had your team play well and win games. And I think that's where both of them are coming from.
If folks have never been to either stadium, Mike, how would you describe any differences there might be in the environment, game day environment at Kinnick and the game day environment at Jack Trice?
Well, let's see. You know, stadiums are all kind of similar to me, and yet they all have their own different feel, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Trice has changed dramatically the last several years. They've done a lot to it, and they've made it a lot better. It's a much better game day experience, and the number of tickets they're selling now compared to they used to, I think, supports that. It used to be a place I didn't like going to. It was wide open, windy. Just, I didn't feel like there was any atmosphere there. Well, they've closed it up, and the sound is great. The video boards are fantastic. And I just think it's just a much better place to watch football. And, you know, they're still selling hope more than anything over there, but since it's a much nicer place to be in, they're doing much better at the gate.
Mm. Yeah, very much so. And, all right, get down to brass tacks in this thing. I don't see it any other way versus can the Iowa defense, which is very stout, stop the Iowa State offense, which is also very, very good.
Yeah, well, sure it can. It can, and it's how much does it need to, you know? I mean, Iowa State's going to score more than 3 points. If Iowa State only gets 3 points, I think people can start dreaming big around here. Because Iowa State's got, I mean, Iowa State in its last four games, I want to say, has averaged about 525 yards. And last year, I think for the whole season, were over 425. I'd have to check that. So they know what they're doing on offense. And I like the quarterback. Jacob Park, very nice. He throws a nice pass. And I think he's got that certain something that quarterbacks need, the leadership ability. And he's not afraid. Not afraid of a moment. So, you know, at the same time, can Iowa State's offensive line do anything with Iowa's defensive line? I'll believe it when I see it. And the linebackers of Iowa's, of course, were sensational last week, as I said earlier, and they present all sorts of challenges. Now, flip side is how much improved is Iowa State's defense? And I think it's a lot better than it was when I played Iowa last year, but will that be good enough? Don't know.
Yeah, that was my final point in, you know, if Iowa State can have any measure of success on defense, listen, Iowa was not a juggernaut on offense last week and, in fact, committed turnovers. I mean, less than 250 yards total offense. It gained yards and capitalized in situations, but it hardly was, 5 yards a pop.
No, you're absolutely right. And that, to me, it was, I mean, I don't know if I'd say it was predictable, but it was a first game with a new quarterback. Your starting center was out, a player who they depend on a great deal, James Daniels. And, you know, there were kinks to work out, and they didn't all get worked out in week one. Whether they can make that leap forward or not on the road against a competitive, enthusiastic opponent, be fun to find out.
We're going to find out coming up on Saturday. Have you consulted Halastradamus yet, or is that later in the week?
Oh, that poor slob is... I hope he's out of the path of Hurricane Irma, but there's no guarantee.
I'm keeping my eye on Howard this week, whoever they play.
So I wish I'd had my eye on him like last Saturday afternoon.
No kidding.
So is the world. Plenty to come on Cy-Hawk Week. Read his stuff at thegazette.com and follow him on Twitter at Halas. And Mike, it's going to be fun Saturday, and we'll talk about it next Monday when we reconvene, but have a good time in Ames, and we'll talk to you then.
Okay.
All right. Michael Oss joins us usually on Mondays, but holiday week this week, doing on Wednesday of this week right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Quick break. Come back. Chris Liss on the other side. Your fantasy football questions and queries. We'll take them at 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
Hey, it's Jim. I can't take your call right now. I'm digging for oil in my basement to help pay for my family's mobile bill. A little crazy, you say? You try getting a data plan that has enough gigs for my family. And I thought braces were expensive. We definitely need a switch.
Stuck in a dysfunctional family plan? Switch to Boost Best Family Plan right now and get 4 lines for just $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. With Metro PCS, you only get 2 gigs per line for the same price. Plus, switch today and get up to 4 free phones, all on the fast and reliable Sprint Nationwide network. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
Offer ends 9/10/17. Requires 1 line to port in. Lines include unlimited data, talk, and text. Video streams optimized at up to 480p plus resolution. Music up to 500 kilobits per second and cloud gaming up to 2 megabits per second. Data deprioritization applies during congestion. Comparison based on Metro PCS's 2GB promo plan as of 4/25/17. For additional details, visit their website. Free phones while supplies last. Requires port in and activation on $100 plan. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast. And you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering 6 times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. I scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. What doesn't make sense is, why don't bikers order in drive-thrus more often? Is it because the name drive-thru feels exclusionary? They should call it drive or ride-thru. But then, I'd need 3 extra arms to hold my drink and burger and fries. Nah, I'm happy with just 2 arms.
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old-school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Back with you on the Gym Class and KGYM. Great segment with Mike Kalas. We'll have it up on the podcast coming up for you here in just a little bit, here at 3:42 on this Wednesday edition of the program. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com set to join us, and that'll be coming up here in just a couple of moments. Get your questions ready to go at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. While we're waiting, do we have any more queries as far as our opening, Iowa State, and people talking about that, or our listeners?
Yeah, I have to go back through them. I mean, there's several, so I'll just pick and choose here. 8209, you know who made the Seahawks game their Super Bowl? Hayden Fry. He realized that the key to dominating the state recruiting and separating Iowa from Iowa State in a state that only has two Power 5 schools was to beat Iowa State and to beat them consistently, and he succeeded at that.
That is the big part of it. This recruiting, Matt Campbell has come in and really done a good job recruiting in the state of Iowa, and it's going to go a long way this game to determine a lot of recruiting battles over the next couple years. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com is set to join us here. 319-366-1600. That is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. It's also our phone number if you'd like to get in touch with Chris and ask him a question here today as we are getting ready for week one of the NFL season. Chris, are you ready to go?
I'm ready. I got one more column to write, one more podcast to record, and I'm done. And that's it. I've got everything set, and I can relax and enjoy the game.
All right. The rest of my league, it's my annual time for you to evaluate here. My big draft last night. Here you go.
Let's hope you did better than last year.
I know. I couldn't help myself. The running backs aren't the greatest, but I think the rest of the team is pretty darn good. All right, these are the starters here. I'll give you my backup at quarterback. I got Cam Newton and Eli Manning as the backup at the quarterback spot.
Love Newton.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's going to bounce back. I got your man in New York, Mr. Perkins, and Adrian Peterson as the running backs.
Not great.
Not great, I admit that. Wide receivers, though, I ended up with Odell Beckham and A.J. Green.
Very strong.
Very good.
Very strong.
Yes. Travis Kelce is tight end, and Justin Tucker's kicker.
Well, tight end, kicker, and the two receivers are A+. The running backs are kind of garbage, I'm not going to lie. But you might running back is a position you can find, right? Like, receiver is impossible to find the most because it's a skill position. And if you're not a great receiver already, it's very hard to become one in that year. But running back is an opportunity position. So, you know, somebody gets hurt, someone else gets an opportunity, and you have it. So I like the team. I'm going to give you a B.
Very excellent. Good. All right. The rest of the league, they heard that, and it's going to be on the podcast as well.
Yeah.
Start sifting through the texts here, Chris. Very popular time of year for you. 3558, who would be a better pickup in a 16-team league, Jamal Williams, Rex Burkhead, or Chris Carson?
I'd go Burkhead. I mean, there's a chance Burkhead's their number one back. I mean, people think it's probably Gillisley, but it could be Burkhead. So take Burkhead.
7,100, is Delvin Cook for Jarvis Landry a good trade? 5 points per reception, 18 league.
I would 5 points per reception. I mean, that's a weird league. I would obviously take Dalvin Cook over Jarvis Landry, but if it's 5 points per reception, Landry can get kind of valuable. So I don't know what else you get for carries or other random stuff, but it's just regular league, but you happen to get five per reception. I would actually prefer Landry. But Landry has some off-the-field issues also that he's got to worry about.
By the way, Chris Liss's segment brought to you, Fantasy Football Talk, by I'm On Communications. Doing a great job with all our fantasy football news.
5260, would you start Terrence West or Tevin Coleman?
I would start... That's a good question. I'm going to say Terrence West. I mean, Coleman is still a backup. Terrence West is ostensibly the starter. Coleman's a better player, and he's got a better matchup, but I'm going to say West for the opportunity.
All right, 37-56, Chris. This is a standard league. Who should I start at flex, Lamar Hill, Emmanuel Sanders, Tyreek Hill, or Rishard Matthews?
I would probably go Lamar Miller, I think, as he meant to say, against the Jags. I don't know who Lamar Hill is, so I'm assuming he means Lamar Miller. I don't like Lamar Miller. I don't think he can hold up, but for week one, maybe he holds up and does something against the Jaguars.
7966 is wondering, do you think Beckham will play this week? He said pretty much he is. And if not, Hogan or Landry in a non-PPR. Also, Adrian Peterson or Joe Mixon, non-PPR.
Okay, one thing at a time. We talked to Stefani Bell of ESPN today on our XM show. She said that she does not know yet whether Beckham will play. He did kind of like bounce around during practice, so he was off the bike. If I had to guess, if I had to bet, I would say yes, he does play because it's against the Cowboys, and he's at all able, he will.
Who was the other one? It was Landry versus who in a non-PPR versus Hogan.
Yes.
I think in a non-PPR, I'm going to go, well, no, it's easy because Landry's off. Remember, Landry is got the hurricane.
That's right.
So Dolphins are not playing, so that's an easy one. And the third one was Adrian Peterson or somebody else. And
Joe, I can't remember Joe Mixon.
They're similar. They're both sort of in a timeshare. People love Peterson going back against the Vikings, so they think it'll be some kind of revenge game. I'll say Mixon. Go with the younger, stronger guy now.
Tony in Anamosa has been offered Leonard Fournette and Alshon Jeffrey for Jay Ajayi and the Seattle defense. What do you think?
No. I would probably rather have Ajayi than the combo of Jeffrey and Fournette, unless it were such a deep league, like a 16-team league. But no, in most leagues, I'd take Ajayi.
56-80, since Ajayi is not playing in a PPR league, would you play Gillisley or Rawls?
Rawls is questionable with an ankle injury, and he doesn't catch passes, so Gillisley for sure right now.
Ryan from Walford, Carson Wentz against the Redskins or Stafford against the Cardinals?
I'd probably go Stafford. It's tough because I think the Wentz has a better matchup, but Wentz still has to graduate into that classic quarterback where you can start him over a consistent guy like Stafford.
1455, Prescott or Mariota?
Mariota. The Giants are a tough D. Giants are going to hopefully have their way with Prescott.
95-78, Stafford or Newton?
Newton. And Newton is going to be, he's a top three quarterback in my opinion.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. Thoughts on a flex spot? John Brown, Randall Cobb, Jonathan Stewart, Forte.
PPR, definitely I'm going to gamble with John Brown. I know he had the sickle cell thing, but caught two touchdowns last preseason game, and if he's playing, he's healthy.
67-11 in a non-PPR. Woodhead, Latavius Murray, Vereen, or... one more, and I can't see what it
Pro-size?
Is.
Pro-size.
I'll go Woodhead.
Okay.
Woodhead, even though he's a real PPR guy, those other guys, so is Vereen, and Woodhead gets more touches. And Latavius is, I don't know how much he's going to play.
What are your thoughts on the developments with Elliott?
So he's playing this week, and then basically the arbitrator upheld the suspension, but one of the NFL's own investigators said that Elliott should not have been suspended. And Roger Goodell did not have her in the room when he made his decision initially. So it's going to court. They're seeking an injunction. And I'm not sure what the legal standard is, but I think it could be anywhere between 6 and 0, and we don't really know yet.
We'll play this week, though, on Sunday Night Football.
Definitely this week. It's not a good matchup. I mean, you'd almost rather him just sit out this week and, get an easy matchup on the other side, but it is what it is. He is playing this week.
319-366-1600. A few more minutes here to get your question in for Chris Liss of rotowire.com. His segment brought to you by I'm On Communications. Again, today, all things fantasy football here on KGYM.
Let's see here. 94-89, trade Breeze for Rob Kelly and Cam Newton?
Yes.
Yes.
I say yes. I mean, I think Breeze and Newton are kind of even. Breeze is certainly safer. Newton has more upside. And then if you need a running back, Kelly is the starter in Washington.
Tony needs help in a running back since Ajayi is out. Latavius Murray or Theo Riddick in a PPR league?
Theo Riddick in PPR for sure.
Stafford or Prescott?
Stafford this week. I like Prescott better season long, but Stafford this week.
I have a question for you. In a PPR league, would you rather have Le'Veon Bell or David Johnson?
That is really a toss-up, 50-50. But I'll say David Johnson only because Bell has had more injuries so far in his career. But if I knew they were both going to play 16 games, I'd take Le'Veon Bell ever so slightly ahead of Johnson.
All right. 319-366-1600. I think we're going to get a call lined up. If you got a text before that, go ahead.
Is there a matchup you'd like to avoid in week one, Chris?
The Jets-Bills is not going to be a work of art, I'm pretty sure. I don't think Colts with Scott Tolzien and the Rams is going to be, one for the ages either.
You're not headed out to
the Jaguars. The Thompson, ahead.
You're not headed out to the Coliseum back to L.A. to see that one, right?
No, that is not. That's why I left L.A., actually, because that game was going to happen there. And then the Tom Savage, you know, Texans playing the Blake Bortles Jaguars is also going to be, you know, it's going to be ugly.
All right, let's get a caller in here. Let's bring in Jeff from Cedar Rapids. He's got a question for Chris. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, Chris, I have Jameis Winston as my quarterback, and obviously he's not playing this week, and Stafford's my backup. Do I stick with Stafford, or do I go out and pick up maybe like that Kaiser?
All right, I heard he had Winston. He's obviously not playing. He's got Stafford. What was the alternative to Stafford?
Go out and pick
Kaiser from Cleveland.
DeShone Kaiser.
I mean, I think Kaiser has a lot of upside, and this is a good game to do it at home against the Steelers, but no, I'd still just go with Stafford. It's too risky.
1753, Ryan or Carr?
I would go with, in this particular matchup, Ryan.
1753, Carr or Prescott?
Carr. And I'm the least high in Derek Carr as anybody in the league, but I'm a Giants fan. I think their D is tough, and I think Prescott's going to struggle.
0376 is in a standard league, Chris. McCaffrey or Fournette?
Ooh.
That is a tough one. I'm going to say McCaffrey for the matchup, but in standard leagues season long, I might take Fournette, which is kind of an unpopular thing now, but PPR is where McCaffrey really excels.
All kinds of stuff. Again, remind people, Chris, about rotowire.com. You have all the information right up to the deadline. You got to get your lineup set. You have injury information. Just tell us how people can get all that access.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to start sit questions, who to start, who to sit, you can get a free trial to RotoWire, rotowire.com/trial. Jeff Erickson writes an entire column ranking everybody by position. So if one running back is 16, the other guy's 22, then you know that he's saying start number 16 first. He does it for PPR and for standard. Again, it's rotowire.com/trial.
All right, sounds good. Best of luck this weekend, everybody. Chris, same to you, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks, Scott. You too.
All right, Chris List joins us on Wednesdays, and his appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications, and they are the sponsor of everything fantasy football for both Chris List and the gym class, Tristan Cockcroft, on the Todd Brommel Camp Show. We will come back. Oh, my gosh. Where has the time gone? Back with more after this.
Dupaco is a local financial cooperative that gives back to its members, like me. Just for keeping and growing my savings and services with them, my share was $200. They call it thank yous. Extra money I use to spoil the grandkids. And it makes me feel like $1 million.
At a financial cooperative, members are owners. It's member participation that powers Dupaco Community Credit Union. Thank yous is money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and spending. Last year, Dupaco members shared in more than $2.85 million in thank yous. How will you use yours?
Get a gym membership.
Go to the movies.
Donate it to charity.
Pay down my student loan.
Add to my retirement savings.
Buy that purse I just saw.
Learn more at dupaco.com/thank yous. Participate, cooperate, accumulate. The more you use Dupaco, the more you're thanked. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. Where did the summer go? Oh, my gosh. It's the first Wednesday after Labor Day, Mark. And we have injury problems. It's Bowling Night in America tonight, brought to you by May City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. It'll be great to see the entire gang out there, all the guys in the league, and I look forward to it tonight.
Look forward to it. We're going to be a man down on the disabled list, one Bob Davidson. Got a text from him today. Bob loves to bowl. He'd bowl every week if he could.
He would.
Turn an ankle. Specifics of which I'm not sure. circumstances surrounding, I'm not sure. But he's on the shelf tonight. And maybe for a couple weeks, we don't know. But yeah, we're getting underway. First Wednesday after Labor Day, a tradition unlike any other. The start of the Adult Evergreen League.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We don't even know who we bowl, so I guess that's probably a good thing anyway.
Usually it's a matter of overcoming ourselves. So
that's true. And we have one less person to overcome tonight. So we'll see how it plays out. A complete report coming up tomorrow. And we do know one thing. Buzz Moore will have it all all taken care of, and he will know how many frames there are until the end of the year, even tonight. So we look forward to seeing Buzz and the rest of the league out there. Bowling Night in America, it is back. Thanks to Mays City Bowl, Tom Churchka, everybody out there. We couldn't do it without them. We appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Tailgate tour tomorrow. Kennedy will be out there beginning at 3.
Right now at the Home Depot, buy Spectracide Bug Stop with AccuShot Sprayer and get a free refill. Great news for you,